Let me tell you a story. Maria Andrejczyk was born in 1996. She was raised in a tiny village in northeast Poland. She was the eldest of five children. She had four little brothers, and sports dominated that family's home. And from an early age, Maria distinguished herself in track and field. She was just a natural. She was an amazing athlete. She was a fierce competitor. And even before she graduated from high school, everyone in Poland referred to her as a future Olympian. Well, in 2016, at age 19, Maria was proud to earn her place on the Olympic team representing Poland, and her event was the javelin throw, and she went off to the games in Rio. Maria was absolutely amazing in those games, but in the end, she came home empty-handed. She came in fourth place, throwing her javelin 219 feet, just a half an inch short of the bronze medal winner. Almost immediately, she began training for the next Olympics, but she was struck with a terrible shoulder injury, and she tried to recover from that surgery, and then the unthinkable happened. She had an incredible diagnosis on her birthday. She was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer and would face chemotherapy. And at that point, it was pretty clear that she'd not get back to the Olympics after 2 years away from her sport, facing illness. Her coach says now, most people figured Maria's career ended with cancer, and you can't really blame them, he says. But what most people don't know about Maria is that she has the heart and the mind and the soul of a warrior. He says, Maria is a warrior, a warrior. Now fast forward to 2021 at the Olympic Games in Tokyo, where her dreams finally came true. After fighting her way through injury and cancer, after 5 years of suffering and sacrifice, that warrior, Maria Andrejczyk, stood on the Olympic podium at last, with that silver medal hanging on her chest, and proudly the flag of her country, Poland, over her head for all the world to see. What Maria didn't know then, which she could never have imagined, is that as she was standing on that podium, it would be just a matter of days when that medal would no longer be hers. In our gospel today, Jesus tells a story about a farmer who goes out to do some planting. And what makes this story from the mind and imagination of Jesus, so stunning, is the unconventional way this particular farmer does his planting. He doesn't take one seed at a time and place it in the ground in some neatly prepared rows in some beautifully prepared garden beds. This farmer, this God, this sower of seed, isn't careful, he isn't frugal, but rather he is extravagant and hopeful and irrationally optimistic as he tosses handful after handful of precious seed everywhere, seeming not to care where it lands, trusting that somehow, some way, the work that he does will lead to goodness and growth, to blossoms and to fruit galore. In this story, Jesus reveals nothing less than the extravagant heart of God, God who made this world, God who made you and me, God who blesses us and wants us nothing more than for us to thrive. People spend a lot of time thinking and talking about why Jesus came. That's a waste of time. Jesus told us himself, I came that you would have life and have it abundantly, he said. I came that you would have joy and your joy would be complete. So we don't have to wonder. He came that we would have life abundant, that we would have joy. Now, we all carry certain burdens, our share of the burdens of this world, I guess. And we all want a greater sense of meaning and purpose in our lives. We want to sense that we're healing from those old wounds that seem slow to heal. And we carry deep anxiety for our children, maybe, or our grandchildren, or for aging parents. And every one of us longs to be known and understood and loved. Truth be told, we live in a world that is plagued by violence, by discrimination, by hatred, and by poverty and pain. I don't know about you, but for me, the evening news is almost too much to bear sometimes. And it was Mother Teresa who said, soon we will learn that we belong to each other. Soon we will learn that we belong to each other. And for me, in a world where everything feels like some kind of harsh competition, this from Mother Teresa feels like the wonderful wisdom of God. Soon we will learn we belong to each other. This is the great secret at the heart of the gospel, and it's the invitation that is offered to us again and again and again. Soon we will learn we belong to each other. Here's a fact you may not know. There are in the Bible almost 400 references to angels. And every single time the angels speak in the Bible, they begin by saying the same thing. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. There's not one exception in the whole Bible. Do not be afraid, they say, everywhere they go. And now I want to tell you a simple truth. You were born into this world for this reason, to make life more beautiful and less burdensome for other people. So, if you've been searching for yourself or searching for life's meaning and purpose, call the search off. I would say pick up your cell phone right now if you want, text your therapist and fire her or him. Right? The search is over. You were born for this purpose, to make life more beautiful and less burdensome for other people. That's the name of the game. And that means we work on the side of the angels. On a Thursday afternoon in spring, Steve Chu, who owns an Asian fusion restaurant in Baltimore, Maryland, received a special request by email. One of his longtime, very loyal customers had terminal cancer. And this customer's daughter, Rena, wondered if it would be possible to get the recipe for her mother's favorite dish at that restaurant, broccoli tempura, so she and her husband Brandon could make it at home for her mom, where she was living in Vermont. She'd gone there to spend her last days in Vermont. Steve Chu read the email, and something happened inside of him, and he instantly knew he had to do better, and he quickly replied to her. He said, "Thanks for reaching out, and we'd like to meet you in Vermont to make the broccoli tempura for your mom in person. We'd like to make it fresh," he wrote. Well, Brandon was confused. So Brandon got on the computer and he wrote back and he said, "You know, we're talking about Vermont. That's 6 hours drive from Baltimore, Maryland." And Steve quickly replied, "No problem. Let's just find a day and a time and let's do this." Rena says now, "My mom used to joke, on my deathbed," she would say, "on my deathbed, I have to have that broccoli." "Well, I really wanted her to have it one more time," she said. So, as outrageous as it sounds, picture the scene if you can. Steve Chu and a colleague from the restaurant in the parking lot of a condo complex in Vermont, cooking this absolutely amazing meal in the bed of their pickup truck with a mobile stovetop, with a deep fryer, and they make tofu and peanut sauce. They make beautiful steamed rice with fresh herbs, and of course, the Holy Grail, broccoli tempura. They box everything up, and they go to the door of the condominium of this dying woman, and they knock on the door. Inside, Rena tells her mother, "Go ahead, Mom, answer the door. Why don't you get it? You know, why don't you get it?" Finally, her mom gets up and hobbles over to the door. And as she opens the door, she recognizes the aroma, and she recognizes Steve, and she breaks down in tears. "I don't get it," she says. "I don't understand. You drove all this way to cook for me? I don't believe it." Rena says, "It was an incredible act of kindness. It was just so above and beyond." And that's it, right? Above and beyond. An act of incredible love done by those who want to work on the side of the angels. The 5th century Irish saint Brendan said it this way: "We are cripples, all of us. We are cripples, all of us. And to lend each other a hand when we're falling, that's the only work that matters in the end. The only work that matters in the end." In 1979, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, Willie Mays, was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. During his incredible career, he starred in 20 All-Star games, he hit 660 home runs, and he stole 338 bases. Everyone knew he'd be in the Hall of Fame. Everyone knew he was maybe the greatest player ever to play the game. What almost nobody knew was something that happened to Willie Mays on his first day playing professional baseball. He was playing for the New York Giants minor league team. And he was the first black player to play in that conference. On that first day with the Giants, the game was played, the Giants won, and when the game was over, the players boarded the bus in Hagerstown, Maryland, and they headed for the hotel. First, though, they drove to the colored side of town. They went to the Harmon Hotel, and young Willie Mays stepped off the bus, and here he was. This is the place he would spend the night. Now picture this if you can. Willie Mays gets off the bus. He's 19 years old. He's never slept one single night away from his home. And he's gonna stay at this hotel all by himself on the colored side of town. The bus sped away to the Alexander Hotel on the white side of town. And that's where the team would spend the night. A couple of hours later, Willie Mays is startled awake as he's getting tossing and turning in the bed. He's startled by a knock on the window of his third floor hotel room. It was three of the Giants players, three young white guys, who had made their way back across town to check on their friend. They climbed the fire escape. They knocked on the window. Willie opened the window and let them in, and they said, "We just wanted to check on you." Well, they did a lot more than check on him. Those three young players slept on the floor of Willie Mays' room so that he wouldn't have to be alone, so he would know that he belonged, so he would know he belonged. And everywhere the angels go, they say, "Do not be afraid, do not be afraid." It was a profound act of kindness, of course, a quiet act of justice, which Willie Mays would remember for the rest of his life. And at his induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1979, he said that night at the Harmon Hotel was the single most important night of his entire career. That kindness from his young teammates changed his heart, changed his mind about a few things, and changed his heart and his life forever. Soon, we will learn that we belong to each other. And it was just 5 days after Maria Andrejczyk stood on the podium and received her silver medal, as she heard the story of a little boy named Milo. He was 8 months old, and he was fighting for his life in a Warsaw hospital. Maria learned that his family was trying to raise $380,000 to access this rare life-saving surgery that was available only in the United States and California at Stanford Medical Center. They were halfway to their goal, and having spent many hard nights of her own in the hospital, this moved her deeply. And before she went to bed that night, she used her credit card and she donated $1,000 to the GoFundMe campaign that was online trying to raise money for Milo's surgery. And she posted to Facebook that she was doing this and encouraged her followers to do the same. It was the best she could do. Early the next morning, before the sun rose, Maria woke up and she had an idea. She would place her Olympic medal up for auction and sell it to the highest bidder and give the money for Milo's surgery. Within a few days, the auction ended and the high bid came from a Polish supermarket chain. They paid $125,000 for Maria's silver medal. And that turned out to be more than enough to get Milo and his family on their way to Stanford. A reporter asked Maria what it was like to let go of her medal. And she laughed. And she said, "The true value of that medal will live in my heart forever. But it's just metal. And it's just going to be in a closet collecting dust somewhere. And now it can save a life." And as Milo and his family prepared to fly to California, that supermarket chain put out a statement. And this is what it said. "We are so moved by the noble and generous act of our Olympian. We've decided the silver medal belongs with Maria. It will stay with Maria. The heart of a champion, champion of God's love, a heart of a warrior working on the side of the angels. And soon we will learn we belong to each other. We belong to each other."